We say no more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more.
Now, you might wonder why we don't go back and just dissect everything that they already did wrong. That's a natural tendency for most of us, because it's how we were treated as children. When we tried something and made a mistake, we were berated for not doing this or that right. You know, we already felt bad about not doing a good job. Now we felt defensive and demotivated from ever even trying again. It's not very helpful. To work with someone who is complaining to excuse poor performance, I want to teach you something called future tasking. It's a great strategy. If you'll practice it and apply it, it can allow you to manage your own disappointment while simultaneously inspiring another person to improve. Future tasking means exactly that. Reframe the task into the future and cover any potential possibilities while securing an absolute commitment. All right, here's what I mean. Going back to the boy not cutting the grass. Future tasking might involve the mom asking her son, "How do you plan to get the grass cut tomorrow?" Or mom might say, "What can you do now that will make sure the mower is working so you can get the grass cut tomorrow?" Rather than harping on the boy for not doing his chores and making him feel bad, she's putting the responsibility of the task getting done back on him rather than taking it herself. When you ask someone, "How do you plan to succeed next time?" stress the word "you." It's important that you remind the person that you're not taking the issue back on. It's not only theirs to accomplish, it's theirs to figure out how to accomplish. A few years ago, I led a group of people to Africa to help build a children's hospital in Tanzania. Many of us picked up varying amounts of Swahili while we were there. I only remember a couple of words, but there is one Swahili word I will never forget. The word is poli. It's spelled P-O-L-E, just like our English word pole. However, in Swahili, it's pronounced poli. And the cool thing about poli is that there is no one-word direct translation into English. To capture the meaning of poli, you have to use an entire sentence of English words. When someone's facing a challenge or difficulty in Tanzania, friends and family don't commiserate like we do by saying, "Oh, I'm so sorry." They think, "Why would I say I'm sorry? The problem wasn't caused by me, so why should I apologize?" It's really kind of an odd thing about the English language. We use the same words when someone tells us they fell down, "Oh, I'm so sorry," as when we push them down, "I'm so sorry." This doesn't make sense to the people of Africa. They don't take responsibility for other people's issues. No, when a problem pops up, the correct response in Swahili is poli, P-O-L-E. Which means, I get that you're going through a difficult time, and I know you have the resources to move through it successfully. See, I told you that you'd need an entire sentence in English to explain poli. Let me say again what it means. I get that you're going through a difficult time, and I know you have the resources to move through it successfully. When a Tanzanian is having a problem, other people will comfort him by saying, "Poli, I get that you're going through a difficult time, and I know that you have the resources to move through it successfully." When someone complains to you to excuse their poor performance, your intention should be to get them to take responsibility and commit to successfully complete the task next time. Last time is over and done with. they've already not completed what you asked, so focus on getting it done. Asking, how do you plan to succeed next time, is another way of saying, Polly, it's telling the other person that you totally understand that there are challenges with getting the job done. Nonetheless, it's theirs to do. A person complaining to get off the hook needs to be told words that convey the meaning of Polly. I get that you're getting through, that you're going through a difficult time, and I know that you have the resources to move through it successfully. Just keep putting the responsibility back where it belongs. You know, it's really kind of karmic, I believe, that the final reason that people complain to excuse poor performance is also the one thing that stops so many people from transforming their lives by successfully completing the complaint-free challenge. The complaint-free challenge isn't complicated, it just takes daily effort. Like I've said over and over, anyone can stop complaining if you're committed to the process and stay with it. However, as we discussed in lesson two, many of us have a habit of not following through, a habit of not changing our habits. We've made resolutions to change many times in the past and didn't follow through. I'll meditate every day, we say. And we do, for a while, and then we don't anymore. I'll stop eating sugar until we realize that Halloween is just 2 weeks away. You know, honestly, I think people should not make more resolutions to change. We should make less, a whole lot less. Why? Because every time we make a vow to change a habit, like not exercising regularly, or being late to appointments, or getting angry at our kids, and we don't follow through, we reinforce that habit of not changing habits. Everyone, to some extent, fights the current of the habit of not changing habits. And that's cool. It's simply good to know that it's working against you. We should be selective about the things we intend to change, and then when we make a decision, do whatever it takes to stay with it. Like I had to white-knuckle my control not to buy a Three Musketeers bar. You've got to be selective over your commitments and then follow through, no matter what. This is important because then you develop a new and incredible habit, the habit of following through on your habits. You build self-control, and with self-control comes power, and with power comes anything you want. You know, it's kind of sad, but I've yet to meet someone who's made an attempt at completing the complaint-free challenge and gave up who didn't ultimately succumb to the E in gripe. They had to excuse their poor performance. They gave up. Sure, you know, there were stressors and circumstances, but when you make a commitment, you follow through. And don't get me wrong, their reasons always seem legitimate. Several people have told me that they were doing great with the complaint-free challenge, but, and this is actually a common story I've heard several times, but then a family member gets sick and dies, and so they give up on the process and just never get back to it. Now, I am not in any way criticizing someone for that choice. I totally get it. In the last few years, both my mother and my older brother have passed away. A death in the family is a valid choice for some people to give up the complaint-free challenge. But consider other people, real people, just like you, who, when faced with the exact same situation, made a different choice. Over the last 10 years, I've received about a dozen emails from people who have ordered complaint-free bracelets for everyone coming to the funeral of a loved one. The stories have been pretty amazing, too. One family was giving out complaint-free bracelets to everyone because the aunt who had died was famous for being positive and upbeat, and they all thought the best tribute they could have for their departed loved one was to individually quit complaining in her name. This woman's legacy was going to be the positive transformation of her family. Man, that just brought tears to my eyes. But probably not as much as the one from a family who lost a child to cancer. The little girl had been a bright little star with lots of friends who loved kittens and dolls, and then she got sick, and it turned out she had brain cancer, and there was nothing the doctors could do about it. And within 6 months, this little angel, who had so much to see, to do, and to enjoy, left our world forever. The family was, understandably devastated, and their grief left them angry. They were in so much pain that they didn't know what to do with it. It burned within them, and they wanted to blame other people. Their pain came out as anger, and they blamed the doctors, the hospital, even each other. And they even blamed God. In this email I received, the sister of the little girl who had died, I think, she was 17, emailed me to say that they had ordered complaint-free bracelets and handed them out to everyone prior to the funeral. They had agreed that the funeral would be a celebration of a special life, no matter how short it is sometimes. And they all needed to celebrate that life as a family and then move on together. And they couldn't celebrate, grieve, and grow if they remained caught up in the tragedy. The young woman told me in her email that the complaint-free challenge had brought her family together when it seemed like they'd kill each other. And you know, those are just two of many examples of people who've used the complaint-free bracelets for one reason or another when a loved one has made their transition, has died. And then there are, like I said, those who abandon the complaint-free program when someone passes. It all comes down to how we respond when life throws us a tragedy. Because it's not if something tragic is going to happen in our lives, it's when we'll experience death and loss. It's life. But when it happens, we can let it strengthen our resolve, or we can let it give us an excuse to give up. We can let what happens defeat us, or we can let it complete us. When we don't follow through on something important, we not only complain to others to excuse our poor performance, we also have to complain to ourselves. Now, we call it rationalizing. We rationalize why we didn't finish something. Oh, this got in my way, or I didn't know that was going to happen. When we rationalize, we tell ourselves rational lies. We lie to ourselves because it really isn't that outer condition that stopped us. In almost every case, we simply gave up. But we don't want to admit to being quitters, not to ourselves or anyone else. So we tell ourselves rational lies. Our higher self asks, if you're trying to lose weight, why did you grab a Three Musketeers? And we rationalize, well, I had a tough science test today and it drained me. I just needed some energy. I'll start my diet tomorrow. Our higher self says, you said that yesterday. And we say, I know, but today I mean it. You know, that was a bunch of rational lies in a row. First, I need a candy bar because a school test sucked the energy out of me. Rational, but a lie. I'll start my diet tomorrow. Definitely a rational lie, because it's one that has been repeated and not followed through on so many times that it can't be true. To perform poorly at something, we must excuse it away, both to other people and to ourselves. Whenever someone stops doing the complaint-free program, they have to excuse their poor performance by telling themselves rational lies. But now, you know the secret. Just don't quit. You know, there's always this incredible moment when it all comes together. It's like, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do this. Whoa, I just did it. You know, I've seen it with juggling, and I've seen it with people giving up complaining. There's this long period of time where it's literally impossible. I mean, juggling is impossible, right? I mean, it's basically playing a game of catch with yourself, but you're trying to do it with more balls than you have hands, which is impossible, right? But you keep drawing. You keep dropping them and picking them up. You keep going, and then suddenly, you can do it. You actually keep the balls going for a while. Well, guess what? You're still going to drop the balls again. But you can pick them up and juggle some more. And over a period of time, you will go longer and longer without dropping the balls. Just like you keep switching your complaint-free bracelet with every spoken complaint. And over the time that you're doing this, the spaces between your complaints will get longer and longer until you wake up one morning and send me an email saying, I made it. So, let's step back and take a breath right now while I ask you a question. What kind of complainer are you? What's your predominant reason for complaining? Are you a G, an R, an I, a P, or an E? Or what combinations of the five? Are you a G for get attention? Do you, like me, have a strong need to get attention? So you always seem to have some negative observation, some bit of bad news or some criticism to start a conversation? Or maybe you're the R in gripe. You complain to remove yourself from responsibility. You've discovered that if you build a strong enough case against yourself, you can get off the hook from doing things you don't want to do. Hey, maybe you complain about the many cool things you have in your life or that you have done to draw attention to I inspire envy. You struggle with some insecurity, so you gripe about your good fortune, trying to convince everyone that you're just a humble person with everyday problems. Or maybe power is the reason you complain. Maybe you like the idea of pulling people together over a controversy so that you can lead them. Or finally, maybe you tend to underperform in life, so you've built a web of complaints, also known as rational lies, to excuse your poor performance. Now that you know a lot more about the reasons you complain, you also have a proven and powerful strategy for addressing the real issues behind your complaints. Not only that, you also know how to figure out why other people complain and how to redirect their negative energy. We have covered so much rich stuff in this comprehensive series. Now that we've completed lesson 5, go back and repeat lesson 1. Then the following week, repeat lesson 2, and then do lesson 3 again, etc. Watch the videos, listen to the audios, read the book. Keep going through these lessons until you complete the 21-day complaint-free challenge. If you'll do that, you'll not only become a complaint-free champion, you'll do it in record time. We got a lot of cool times ahead, you and me, and I'm looking forward to helping you in every way I can. Remember to keep posting questions and comments, and I'll answer them personally. Let me give you one last piece of homework. Remember, it's the last letter in gripe that will stop you from completing the complaint-free program. Commit now to never excuse your poor performance, because your performance is ongoing until it's successfully completed. As long as you're continuing ahead, there is never any reason to tell rational lies why you stopped. I believe in you. I really do. Together, we're going to let that butterfly out so that it can spread beauty and bring joy throughout the world. Thanks again for allowing me to be part of your life transformation. And until we talk again, remember to become complaint-free Choose happiness and serve others. Enjoy today. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing.